Spiritual discernment is looking at all situations, all individuals, all decisions in line with the original blueprint, which is the Bible. Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10, but I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. This is Paul's prayer. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and in all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. This was his desire, so that ye may surely learn to sense what is vital. Now, this is what discernment will bring into your life. You will sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best, and distinguishing the moral difference, and that ye may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless, so that with hearts sincere and certain ye may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. Spiritual discernment is a major, major attribute that Christians should endeavor to develop in their life. Discernment is a facet of wisdom. Discernment is actually the process by which wisdom is implemented into your life. I was talking to someone recently, and they were sharing with me a nationally known minister who had fallen into sin here recently. And in that situation, his minister friends shared how bad they felt, because they were the ones that really promoted this man's ministry. And in the letter, they said something that was very interesting. They said that we acknowledge and ask your forgiveness for our lack of discernment in the life of our fellow minister. And think about it. Here are ministers who are closely related with this other minister, and these other ministers are known for their spiritual discernment. They're known for their prophetic ministries. And they had realized that they had not discerned, even in a relationship that was close to them, this man was in this sin. We're in a situation right now that God is requiring leaders first to develop in the area of spiritual discernment, so we can adequately lead and teach the body of Christ. Because if the leaders are not operating and flowing in this, we're in serious problems. We're in serious trouble. I think I have a, for you note takers, one of the Greek words for discern is to discriminate between, to distinguish between, to separate out so as to investigate, to thoroughly examine, to investigate, to sift, to determine the excellence or defects of any personal thing. Now, know that when we're talking about spiritual discernment, there is a facet of it where you have an inward witness. The Holy Spirit will give you an inward witness, a prompting that something is not right. But I want to give another facet of spiritual discernment, and it's this, where it says, a process of thinking through thoroughly and adequately evaluating in order to separate things from one another of their points of difference in order to distinguish them to make a godly choice. Discernment is something that is going to require you to think. One of the Hebrew definitions for discernment is thoughtfulness. And when I first read thoughtfulness, I really wasn't catching it until I started seeing that it was saying you are going to have to be full of thought when it comes to you examining and evaluating and distinguishing certain situations. Now, every single day we are confronted with choices that you're going to have to make, that you're going to have to be sensitive to on what God would have you do. Spiritual discernment is you being sensitive to the Spirit of God and you knowing what the Scriptures say. It's a combination of the two. You can't just rely on the Holy Ghost to bring things to your remembrance when it comes to Scripture if you never put the Scriptures in your heart. The Scripture says the Holy Ghost is going to bring to your remembrance, and it's going to be hard for him to bring to your remembrance if you never put it in here. That was deep, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit is symbolized as a dove because the dove is the most sensitive of all birds. Sensitivity. How many of you have been in situations where you had a sensing or a leading, or you had a scripture come up in you that warned you not to do a certain thing? Let me see your hand. Sometimes that comes to me and I have to step back and evaluate what's going on. Many rush into decisions. Many rush into relationships. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to slow down. You're going to have to evaluate this. The opposite of sensitivity is to be desensitized, to make insensitive, to not be reactive, to be indifferent to a sensitive situation, to become emotionally callous, not to care. It's a dangerous place to get in a position where it's not very important to you on decisions that have eternal consequences. Philippians 1:9, it says in verse 10, approve. Approve. Approve the things that are excellent. The knowledge of the Word of God and the discernment it brings will lead you to a life pursuing those things of excellence. I'm going to read that again. The knowledge of the Word of God and the discernment that it brings will lead you to a life pursuing those things of excellence. And the things that are of excellence are the things that have eternal value in them. The things that you're going to be able to take with you when you meet Jesus. The rewards that you are going to be able to lay at his feet without the fire burning off what you thought was eternal. Many of us are going to be so surprised, we're going to think we're going to have all these rewards coming to us because of all the things we've done in the earth, and we'll get up there and they're going to bring the fire and they're going to say, whatever is left, that's what you're going to be able to present to Jesus. And when the fire whoosh come, we're going to say, whoops. Because we never discerned what was valuable. We never discern what's valuable from what's wasteful. This is what a life of discernment will do. It'll begin to teach you what things you should become a part of, what activities you should become involved with, what relationships you should spend time in, versus those relationships that are taking you subtly away from the will of God for your life. Those activities that are just taking up your time and they have no eternal value to it. Many pick running, exercising over another service to hear the word of God to learn more about Jesus Christ.
You think they listening? They're starting to frown at me. Is it okay?
No. I knew this wasn't going to be an excited message. It's thought-provoking, I hope. This life of discernment is the major quality that a parent from the very beginning should begin to instill into their children. To pull their child aside and begin to teach them how to begin to see a situation and begin to take it apart at its differences, and them being able to choose what God would desire. Discernment is the ability to think the thoughts of God in every situation. Folks, that's the highest privilege we have. The highest privilege a human being has is to think like God. To test, to verify, to prove, to determine, to evaluate, to distinguish those things that are of eternal value, the things that are most important, the things that really matter, the things that are just taking up your time, the things that are diverting you from your purpose. The thing that God has you born for this time. It's so important for us not to waste time if he birthed us now. We have to redeem the time. Turn to Colossians. Spiritual discernment is in four main areas. Number one, sound doctrine. These are the four main areas that we need to develop in our lives when it comes to spiritual discernment. Number one, sound doctrine. Number two, godly character. Number three, godly decisions. Number four, discerning the Lord's body. I'm going to read some definitions of discernment, and it's going to be fast, so you won't be able to write all this. Discernment is the ability of God to distinguish his thoughts, his ways, and his wisdom from all others. Discernment refers to a spiritual perception and moral intelligence that brings about the ability to examine, evaluate, and assesses people and situations for godly decisions and choices. It is the training of perceptive and intellectual faculties in order to please God by doing his will. It is the process of thinking thoughtfully and adequately to determine a person, a situation, or a matter based upon the principles of God's word in order to conform one's life to the character of Christ. That's the very essence of what wisdom and discernment will bring. It will bring you to a deeper Christ-likeness. A deeper Christ-likeness. It is the ability to recognize and evaluate beliefs and values and circumstances and people in the light of God's word and God's principles in order to distinguish and separate for the purpose of fulfilling the will of God. Discernment is to discriminate, and this is a major one. Discernment is to discriminate what merely feeds the natural man, which is temporal, and that which feeds and improves the spiritual man, which lasts throughout eternity. Now think about it. Most Christians are spending the majority of their time doing things, involved in things, involved in relationships that are not helping them spiritually. They think it's helping them spiritually. There are relationships in my past that I knew if I kept, I would stay where I was spiritually, if there's such a thing. You know, in the kingdom of God, there's really no standing still. You're either going forward or backwards. It's like going upstream. Long as you paddling, you going up. You stop paddling, you don't stay in the same place. The current is going to take you back where you came from. Tonight I wanted to spend, out of the four areas, I want to spend a little time on one area. And that's the second one that deals with godly character. In order for you to develop spiritual discernment in your life, in order for you to walk in the wisdom of God, Could you imagine living a life that everything you did, everywhere you went, you knew what God thought about it? You knew how God would solve that problem. To live a life of spiritual discernment, which is a sign of maturity, you must allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to discern, evaluate, separate what's in your own heart. Spiritual discernment flows from a life that is constantly allowing the Holy Spirit to examine their heart. That is one of the major reasons why so many Christians have very little discernment. Because when the Holy Spirit begins to minister to them about things they need to deal with in their heart, distinguish and allow him to deal with, not right now. I'm enjoying this. And when that happens, it hinders your ability to see. If your vision is blocked, it hinders this type vision spiritually to see. In 1921, Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane had become preoccupied with a particular facet of medicine. He had a strong feeling concerning the use of general anesthesia in major surgeries. And remember, this is 1921. He believed that most major operations could and should be performed under local anesthesia, for in his opinion, the hazards of general anesthesia outweighed the risk of the surgery itself. He cited that heart trouble could be the consequences of putting someone under full anesthesia who had heart problems, and you were trying to deal with a certain area or surgery in another area in their body. His mission was to prove to his colleagues that local anesthesia was of great importance. It would take a great deal of convincing. Many patients were understandably squeamish at the thought of being awake while surgery is happening. He spent all his time looking for a patient that he can operate on to prove his point about local anesthesia. He would have to find a volunteer who was very brave, a candidate for major surgery who would be willing to accept this local anesthesia. In his distinguished 37 years in the medical field, Kane had performed nearly 4,000 appendectomies. So this next routine one would be no different. Dr. Kane's patient would remain awake through the surgical procedure under local anesthesia. He finally found one. The operation was scheduled for a Tuesday morning. The patient was prepped, wheeled into the operating room, and the local anesthesia was administered. Kane began, as he had thousands of times before, carefully dissecting superficial tissues and clamping blood vessels on his way in. Locating the appendix, the 60-year-old surgeon pulled it out. Through it all, the patient experienced only minor discomfort. The operation concluded successfully. The patient rested well that night. In fact, the following day, his recovery was said to have progressed better than most post-operative patients. 2 days later, the patient was released from the hospital to recuperate from a home. Now, in 1921, it took 8 to 9 days for them to leave the hospital. The potential of local anesthesia had been fully realized thanks to the example of an innovative doctor and a brave volunteer. This took place February 15, 1921. Dr. Kane and the patient who volunteered had a great deal in common, for they were the same person. Dr. Kane had successfully operated on himself. This man could not find a patient, so he had nurses prop him up so he can look in his own stomach and sat there and cut himself open and pulled out his own appendix. Closed himself up. 2 days later, he performed surgery on someone else. Are y'all with me? Did that wake you up? And I've seen pictures of this. 13 years later, he operates on himself and removes a hernia. Do you realize how difficult that is? Do you? As hard as it is to comprehend that, as hard as it is for us to realize that this man operated on himself, there's something that is extremely, extremely more difficult. And that is to live a life that you are constantly allowing the Holy Spirit to do surgery on your heart. One of the most difficult things that I experience in my life is when I'm going along and I'm thinking I'm fine in the spirit, you know, everything's fine. And all of a sudden, just all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, I say, psst, you need to work on this. Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm fine. And the Holy Spirit as a dove. You need to work on that. Why did you say that to that person? Why did you do that? Did you do that to be seen? Did you say that to be thought of as spiritual? Did you give that expecting that person to give you something bigger? The ministry of the Holy Spirit, if you allow, I'm letting you know why so many lack spiritual discernment, lack wisdom. is because when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with your heart, it's a very touchy thing. It's very sensitive. Especially when you think you're okay. The most dangerous place to be, believers, is in a place where you don't think you need to improve. That is the beginning of self-deception. I'm just plugging on along because y'all not, y'all looking at me funny. I know you're thinking. The most intimate, the most sacred, the most intense experience you will ever have in your life is when you allow the Holy Spirit to examine your heart, evaluate your motives, judge your intentions. To allow the Holy Spirit to do surgery on your heart, on the hidden dark places of your soul that you knew you didn't know you even had. This is the progression of spiritual growth. This is you moving from one image of Christ to another image of Christ. This is our ministry, is to be conformed to his image. And folks, it is very difficult. It is very hard to be honest with yourself. Spiritual inventory is so painful and so intense that Jesus equated it with plucking out your eye and cutting off your hand. Very few Christians even slow down enough for the local anesthesia to take place. Their life is full of activity. We're always doing things for the Lord. God is more concerned with who you are than what you do. Now listen what I just said. He is more concerned with who you're becoming than what you are doing. The only thing that you can really take to heaven with you when you leave this earth is your Christ likeness. The Christ likeness that you've developed over your years as being a Christian. What we're basically talking about is Proverbs 4, verse 23-24. Learning to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows everything you need spiritually to succeed in life. I know I'm going slow, but this is kind of heavy thinking, and I want you to follow along with me. To guard your heart is to protect your spirit from attitudes, motives, and words that are spoken, or your attempts to impose on other people. Now listen. The attitudes and the thoughts that you have, more times than not, you endeavor to share it and communicate it with other people. So it's very important for you to understand that what your motive is a godly motive. What attitude you possess is a godly attitude. Because you communicate that to other people. You communicate that to your spouse. You communicate that to your children. And every day, we have to learn to guard and monitor our attitudes. When you're in line and you always, always seem to get in the slow line. Why is that? And it gets to the point where you're at the store and you're trying to go by that inward witness which line to get in. And you still end up in the slow line. What is God trying to tell you? What is he trying to teach you? What? Yeah, some of y'all don't want to say it. Check your motives on why you do things. Are you doing things to be seen of men? Or are you doing things to please God? Disciplined self-examination before God in order to learn one's weaknesses, blind spots, and deepest needs is an ongoing necessity. Self-examination brings the knowledge about yourself that spiritual realization requires. Jeremiah says our heart, now listen closely. Jeremiah says our heart is wicked, deceitful above all things. Now in the new covenant, our new created spirit is godly. It's pure before God. But as believers, we have a soul that needs to be renewed. And if you do not renew your soul, the thoughts, the attitudes, the difficulties, the sins that you did before Christ, you could begin to slowly, subtly get into old habits of sin. Now we're talking about being honest before ourselves, before God and the mirror of his word. You can't look at a situation, especially when someone makes a mistake, someone falls into sin, you can't sit there and say, bless God, I wonder what's wrong with them. What happened to them? And have this superiority type attitude. Because people only a step away out of his grace, you could do the same thing. I'm learning in my life to be so sensitive when I see other people going through difficult things. I can't sit there and say, whew, man, I'm glad that ain't me. Man, I wonder how they got messed up like that. Don't they know that's a sin? Matthew 7 says, judge yourself. This is what it's talking about. examine your own heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to examine your own heart. You must first live a life of repentance. This is one of the principles of the believer in Hebrews chapter 6. This is a basic foundational principle, is a life of repentance. It talks about repentance toward dead works. It's saying that we're to live a life of change, of allowing the Holy Spirit to change us into His image. We're to allow the Holy Spirit to monitor our hearts. This is the first step to a life of spiritual maturity. I'm endeavoring personally, and listen, this is very needed. I'm endeavoring to live a life that when I'm in a situation and people begin to treat me wrong, people begin to take advantage of me, people begin to hurt me, instead of first going to God saying, God, stop it. Kill him. Be thou cast into the sea. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you what God is trying to work out of you. God, why am I under this mean boss? We can't get along. I don't know why. I've been believing you for another job. I've been believing you to get me out. I've been believing you to move them out of the way. Why is it that you having me in this situation where this person is just dogging me? I learned this principle in a book I was reading years ago. And it said this statement. It said that God put David under Saul to work out the Saul that was in David. Did you catch that? God has a purpose of you being in that situation. Look at the reason and see why he has you in it and what he's trying to develop in you, work out in you, character development in you. And don't be so centered on what they're doing to you. That never goes over when I preach this, but a few more minutes. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. This is the surgery ministry of the Holy Spirit. For the note takers, write this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. In the Amplified, it reads this: examine and test and evaluate your own selves. And this is the spiritual discernment we're talking about for godly character development. Examine, test, and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and are showing proper fruit of it. This is a major verse. Evaluate and test your own heart. One of the areas that you're going to have to be so sensitive to is your thought life, because this is the key to everything else. What is the most serious of all sins? It is the sin of the mind. the sin of your thoughts. Many people won't do evil acts, but they are boldly evil in their hearts. A person who wouldn't commit adultery in act because of fear of getting caught has just as much pleasure by having lewd fantasies, imagining things, and sexual acts that are 100 times worse than what they will actually do. Worship and love to God should be happening in our thoughts. God desires to put our thoughts, his thoughts, in our thoughts. And it is very difficult for him to put his thoughts in our thoughts when we cram it with things that shouldn't be there. The sin of the mind, then, is to desecrate the very sanctuary where our highest and our best worship should be taking place. Cultivating sins of the mind defile the mind, and it displaces worship for which we are saved. Sins of our thought life go unconfessed more than any other sin that we'll ever have in our life. They are the secret character damaging sins. Sin always looks the worst when it's most notable, and sin always looks the worst and is the most noticeable when it is worn on someone else. Now, this is an area we have to watch. Sin always looks the worst and is the most noticeable when someone else is doing it. There is a general principle that most Christians live by, and it is this. We judge others by their actions while we judge ourselves by our intentions. We'll see someone fall in a certain sin, and we'll be so hard on them, but when we do it, we say, well, I didn't mean it. Lord know my heart. Let me give an example of this. One last article. This was in the International Herald Tribune, September 1990. A man regularly drove his truck through Italy, and every now and then he would stop at a brothel to get his pleasures with prostitutes. One of his colleagues one day said to him, I have found the perfect brothel with all the offerings you want just outside of Rome where you live. Why don't you stop by there on one of your journeys home? Matter of fact, there's a particular woman that you should ask for because she is the most popular. So on one trip, he stopped by this brothel and he asked for this particular woman. He was told that this particular lady was very busy and he would have to wait. She is in great demand. And as a matter of fact, she's serving someone right now. So he waited. And he waited. 30 minutes passed, 45 minutes passed, but he kept saying to himself, it's worth the wait. After he waited, the door opened, and to his utter shock and horror, the woman was his wife. As she saw his face, in terror, she ran out of the room, and he ran after her. And when he caught her, he began to beat her. And he tried to kill her. And several people had to come and take him off of her. He was so mad that his wife was working at this brothel. And his sin was just as bad. We cannot judge other people harshly. When we say discern, we mean judge in a righteous judgment, in a righteous evaluation, in a pure heart, a good heart. Not to condemn, because you set yourself up for a fall. Amen? Let's bow for prayer. Father God, I just thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You left him as a comforter. That word comforter is, in essence, someone who strengthens us, someone who adds value to our life. Father, I pray that after this message, we will become more sensitive to the dealings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes, Father, we want to walk in spiritual discernment, but the discernment starts, Father, in our own heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to discern those things that shouldn't be in it, so we can then see clearly how to discern in life.